It is good to be around the word of God once again this morning. Before I get to my subject today, I don't know how many of you use the daily bread. Yesterday's lesson in daily bread was talking about relationships. The relationship between siblings, which are blood related. And I was thinking in this on the same subject, the blood relation doesn't end there. Blood relations comes right here. We are all related by blood, the blood of Christ. Now, the lesson for they wanted to bring up yesterday was that relationship, especially in the siblings area, it breaks very often. I compare that to the sibling relationship hanging on a thread. Any small wind, the thread is broken. It cannot be broken, it will never be broken, but at least in your mind and thoughts, relationship breaks so easily, although it is connected by the blood for eternity. That is true in the church also. Our relationship is not something that we have it when we come here. It is eternally sealed by God himself. And it will never be broken. It should not ever be broken for any small wind that blows. That is not my lesson today, but I thought yesterday's lesson from that book was very good for all of us. Last few times I spoke here, we've been looking at the New Testament church. And from the beginning of the church, prior to that, the gospel Peter preached, and we also looked at before that, that what is the evidence of salvation? Is it simply by raising hand we get saved? No, there should be very clear evidence of salvation, which we looked at from 1 John. So I'll continue that theme on the church principles today. There is when I was speaking last time, in the second chapter of book of Acts, the last verse, verse 47 talks about the financial care of believers between one another. So one brother came to me and said, why didn't you speak about that part? And he also said, that way I can get some of your money. Well, I'm coming to the financial part next time when I have the opportunity to speak. But today there is a principle throughout the scripture that we see about headship. We all agree that we know God is a triune God. What does that mean? Is he three gods? No, it is one God, but three personalities. Have you ever wondered how those three personalities exist and function in heaven? God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Could there be any conflict between them? Could there be any fighting? May not be the right word. You know what I mean? Disagreements between them. Never. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit exist in heaven eternally in perfect unity, because there is a principle that we see throughout the scripture. That principle of coexistence and the order that how the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit function, we see also that headship order when God established government here on this earth. Whose idea was it to establish government on earth? It was not Biden or anybody else prior to him or any other king or people around the globe. It is God's idea to have headship order in governments. But we also see that headship order is also placed in the family. Husband, wife, and children in the same order of headship. Without the order of headship, any institutions like what I talked about, there will be chaos there or problems. And we also see the script when we read the scripture, which we are going to read together in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Apostle Paul made very clear the same headship order in the church. That is my subject this morning. Headship order. Not just in the church alone. Church happens to be one of them. But we look at that part. So for our reading, let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We will read verse 1 through 18. Please, if you have a Bible or whatever you are looking at, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 through 18, please follow through. I am reading from the original King James version today. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Listen very carefully, beginning to talk about headship here. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Very clear. Every man praying, prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the man to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge you yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Do not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, or if you want to argue about what Paul said, he says, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Verse 17, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. When you read the full chapter of chapter 11, there are five times I have underlined in my couple of places we already read. Five places it says, when you come together. So saying that Paul is referring to the gathering of the church. Wherever the church gathers, may not be, this is one of them. But anywhere the church gathers in his name is what the subject matter is, where the headship order come into place. There are all these verses, 17, 18, 28, and 33, and one more verse after this, talking about when you come together. So it is very clear, Paul's talking is about the church. We will move very fast through these slides. Please listen very carefully. We see clearly in the scripture, God is the God of order. Not only in this passage, but throughout the passages that Old and New Testament, wherever we see, God is a God of order. God is not a God of confusion. God is not a God of disagreement between the three. There is order in everything God does. Therefore, the headship principle is applicable in the heavens as God operates even today. Otherwise, there will be conflict if there is no order. God also translated the same principle from when he established government as well as and people. Same principle of order is in the church, Christ, man, and woman. I'll come and explain all that in a moment as we go on. In the home, listen carefully. If you have a husband and a wife, if you are a husband and a wife, and you have children, you have a family, there must be order of headship. Otherwise, there will be problems in the family. Many times, some of us here have an opportunity to counsel people, and we often go back to the root cause. We find out the very root cause is there is no headship order in the family. Whether it is believers or not believers, God ordained headship in the family. So very clearly that is mentioned in various other passages. Also in this chapter, when you read, there are four symbols. The one we already almost read every Sunday. We just now had participated the bread and the cup. And there are two other symbols. We will come to that in a moment. Four symbols are given for the church to practice. One, the uncovered man. If you are a man whose head is not covered, it is a symbol in the church of the glory giving to his head, who is Christ. We read in verse 3. The covered head of woman. I'll explain that as we go on. The bread representing the body of Christ and the cup representing the blood of Christ. There are four symbols in chapter 11. Either we accept all four symbols or we reject all of them. God does not give us an option to choose between the four symbols. We are all happy to choose the two symbols and we reject the others, not all. Some reject the other. So the scripture gives us, makes very clear, either we accept all or we reject all. In the church, God ordained headship order. In chapter 11, verse 3, we read it. Let me read it again. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So beginning from God, in the church, the order of headship is very clearly mentioned in verse 3. The last phrase in verse 3 is an important key. Head of Christ is God. Head of Christ is God. I thought Christ and God the Father was the same. Yes, they are the same. We will come to that subject in a minute. It simply means Christ is not inferior to God the Father, but a co-equal with the Father. Christ in his infinite wisdom and grace, he took the place of submission or subjection and for our redemption, and he came down into this world. That does not mean Christ is secondary or God number two. It is simply an order that God has placed in heaven and triune God functions. And when we come to the headship of man and the woman, Paul says, so the head of the woman is man, does not imply inferiority of woman. This is a problem with many ladies when we sometimes talk to or counsel, why do I have to be submissive to my husband? It is not the question of inferior or superior. It is simply an order of God who placed it in function in heaven. He also places that in God. I will explain a little bit more as we go. As it is her subordination to the man in the church, as it is also in the home. A man should not cover his head in the gathering of Lord's people. And I will say, all men will say amen to that. Why? And the reason is, it would be dishonoring to man's head. Verse number 3, we already read, that, and also in verse 4, that the man's head is Christ. If I am covering my head, what am I covering? I am covering the glory of Christ. So Paul says the glory of Christ should be visible. Therefore, man should not cover his head. That is a symbol, the third symbol that we talked about. He's the main image. Man is the image and glory of God in verse number 7. For man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, therefore he ought not to cover his head. These verses state 6 principles. Which one? Verse number 5 to 16. Covered head of the woman. Remember, this is all under the headship order. I'm not particularly talking about head covering here. It just happens to be in the headship order of God, which started in heaven between God, Father, and the Son. I am sure all of you, men, women, boys, girls, you are at least connected to 3 or 4 women. Either you have a mother, a sister, a wife, of that nature, you are directly related to women, or every one of us. So you should know what the scripture talks about, women's place in the scripture, in the church. Therefore, it is important for all of us to know and understand what Paul is trying to say here. Covered head of the woman. Paul brings 6 principles on this particular subject in this passage. Number 1, a headship, verse 5 and 6. Without a head covering in church meeting, the woman dishonor her head, says Paul. Who is that? Her husband. Who is the head of his head is Christ. So that is the man, and ultimately dishonors Christ, who is the head of every man. So that is the very principle of headship that Paul is talking about. Number first and the foremost thing about the head covering is the headship, who is her husband, and above him is Christ, whose glory should be covered. Man's glory should be covered. Number two, principle number two, glory. The woman is the glory of the man. Did you know that? Brothers, husbands, woman is the glory of man, it says. You should take that very seriously. When brothers and sisters come together in a church gathering, they should do so for the glory of God. The glory of the man should not be seen. In the church, the glory of the man, woman is the glory of man. Therefore, woman covers her head to cover the glory of man. Only Christ's glory is visible. I hope I made that very clear. When woman covers her head, she is covering the head of glory of man, whose glory is Christ. Only the glory of Christ is visible. Now, then he goes back to the question of creation. Creation, he says, for the man is not of the woman. We know that woman came out of man. God put man to sleep and took a rib and made a woman. So women, you like it or not, you came from a man. That's what Paul also says here. But the man, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for them. So you, man, you also came from a woman. But you are woman, you are created for the man and not the woman for the man. That is how God's order from the creation itself. And then in angels, I'm not going a lot of explanation. These are very clear and evidence. We talk about one word there, because of the angels. What does the angels has to do in the church gathering? In verse 10, we read like this, because of the angels, who are the careful observers of the church, where they learn lesson on the manifold wisdom of God made known by the church. Where did I get it? Ephesians 3:10. angels are witnessing us this morning when we are seated. They learned the manifold wisdom of God practiced in the church by his people, and angels are witnesses to that. Therefore, Paul says, for their witness, for the witness of them, for the testimony to the angels, woman need to cover her head. Principle number 4, listen carefully to this one. Even if you forget what Paul says, doesn't nature itself teach you this? That does not nature itself teach you by the provision of long hair for woman and of short hair for men? Nature, our God appointed teacher, instructs every one of us that the woman's long hair is a glory for her and a covering. Well, you may be questioning now already me, what is that word covering there means? Every woman that you know, they take hair as the most important part in their life. You know, sometimes they get late, get ready and late to the meeting. Why? Because they are in the bathroom fixing up the hair. So don't get upset about it. It is her hair is a glory to her. And she takes it very seriously. There is no woman will come to any group or any outside anywhere in the church or any functions with a messed up hair. She will make sure the hair is well taken care and presentable because her hair is a glory to her, says Paul. And that is how God created her. That is how the order has been given by God himself. And the long hair, verse number 14 says, also for a man is a shame, says the scripture. Her hair is given for her a covering, it says. Earlier we saw the word covering. What is this covering word means? It does not mean she does not need a head covering in addition. Otherwise, the whole teaching will be repetition and redundant and contradictory. And also to notice the word covering is used for the head covering part is a different word from that which you have also mentioned in this verse. So there are 6 principles Paul brings under this, all under the headship order. Therefore, you and I have no choice but to obey. Disobedience can be our choice, but God expects the church of God, the people of God, to be obedient to his commandments in the church and the headship order. Please note, it does not end here in the church. It should be also equally applicable, as we talked earlier, in the family where you are. Again, sisters, don't feel like you are secondary to anything. Paul himself said, without man, there is no woman. Without woman, there is no man. That simply means that we are one equal in Christ. It is simply the order of God. For God himself, who practices in heaven, brought to the application into the government, brought to the application in the church, and that same principle is applied in the home. Otherwise, there will be always quarrel and conflict and contradiction. I am glad Paul put these words there. If any man or a woman seem to be contentious, we have no such custom. Simply means, that is, there was no other apostolic practice other than that which already apostle has been insisting on, namely the uncovered head of man and the covered head of woman. This was not only the principle for the church at Corinth, but was the practice of all the churches Paul went and taught. And it is true even today. Simply don't take this one subject out of the context, and then we will misinterpret and make problem. It is the order of headship throughout the scripture, beginning from triune God himself, going down into that principle applicable on earth until we reach heaven. that headship order should be very taken very seriously and also practiced if the Lord leads you to do those. So if you disobey for any other, just like any other principle that we disobey, you will be held accountable when we get to heaven. I put it in a chart form to make it a little more clear. I may finish a little early today because I didn't explain a lot of things. God and Christ, they are equal. They are one. They are not second. One is not under the other. One is not secondary. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, they are equal. Only the Christ took the submission voluntarily, mercifully, lovingly, took the submission of becoming a man. Not because he is secondary, but they are equal. But then we also read, man, Christ is the head of man. And man and woman are equal. Two, three places Paul made that very clear. You are equal in Christ. In Christ, you are equal. There is no difference. But the submission of, just like Christ submitted to God the Father, woman submitting to the man is simply an order, God's order of headship. They are positionally in Christ. They are equal. Now, but God's order of submission, not inferiority. He himself set the example. Christ himself was willingly submissive to God the Father and became a man. Therefore, you and I have no choice because our Lord has set the example already. So woman covers her glory, the man, in the church. All that you're doing is covering the glory of man in the church. That leaves the glory of Christ visible in the church. So the four symbols, the bread, the cup, uncovered man, and a covered woman are the four symbols that Paul gives us in this chapter. My encouragement for my own understanding is the whole that is whole thing that he's talking here is rooted in Godhead, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is where the headship order started. That is where the practice started. That is where the example is given. That is where he all other things in the home and church that God has brought to us. I don't think I have a choice but listen to what God says. One point he made it very clear is, men are not to have long hair. It is a shame, Paul said. Well, there may be shameless people around, but that's a different story. Headship order in heaven started. Headship order in government. Headship order in church. And headship order in the family. Our Father, we thank you this morning. We come to thy presence giving you thanks for establishing order in heaven, which has been translated into many of men's dealings and lives here on this earth, including the church. Lord, we thank you for these words that we were able to look together. Pray that it may speak to each one of us. We may do or not do, understanding what the scripture says. Give us the grace from above. Talk to every one of us, man and woman, young and old. We give you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.